It was a day which was pretty standard. I was on my way to start morning surgery, and in those days we lived near Kingsdown, so I drove up the seafront past Walmer Castle along the beach, and there were some high buildings there, nothing out of the ordinary. I came to the main road from Deal to Dover called the Strand, where I would normally turn right and go into the middle of town where the surgery was. In the distance, I saw a fire engine herring up the Strand. I just pulled out and went into town, past the fire engine, thought, well, another fire and another accident, and thought no more of it. I got to the surgery, and the surgery car park was relatively empty. I went in and went into my room, and a bit quiet. Normally you'd expect to bump into partners and make a few wisecracks and greet one another. And then my practice manager, Leslie Betts, came up to me and said, do you know what's happened? And I said, no. And at that stage I didn't know what she was talking about. And then she said, well, there's been an explosion up at the barracks. Dr. Rawlings and Dr. Anne Radford and Dr. Sharbel have all gone up there. I then thought, well, there's no point me going up there. I'll head to the Cottage Hospital, the Victoria Hospital in Deal, and obviously they'll be taking in casualties, and I'm not sure whether we were on take for that week, but I anticipated other doctors would be there as well. So when I got there, I was the first on the scene in casualty. Basically, the patients were being triaged into those more in need of immediate treatment and those who were less seriously injured. And so that, you know, I sort of started by getting on with sorting out lacerations, doing stitching.
And how were they being brought in at this stage? Were they sort of walking wounded, or were they being brought up by vehicle? And what sort of numbers are we talking about?
Well, it's difficult to say, but clearly some were ambulanced in, others were brought in by private transport. But at that time, I wasn't really aware of anything other than the job in hand at the time and getting on with the work with the nurses, who were obviously doing their best. But it's very confusing, and things are happening very quickly around you, so you have to sort of concentrate. And obviously it's not an everyday occurrence, so you had to sort of, the nurses were basically helping out and helping to sort out the more injured from the less injured, and I dealt with what I could. There were probably about 20 to 30 people, I would have thought.
And I gather a lot of these were the young bandsmen, the junior bandsmen, who happened to have not been in the building but were playing on the squares.
Well, they probably were. There were quite a few youngsters.
Quite traumatized, I think, probably.
Yes, it wasn't just the cuts and bruises, and but obviously they were in shock, and the ones that I was dealing with weren't in severe shock, but literally they were telling me the story that there'd been this huge explosion and there were fatalities. And of course by this time the news had got around, and the hospital manager was discussing things with her staff, that's Mrs. Maureen Bain, and also telling me more, because as I got on with things I was getting more information. So we were x-raying, sending people for x-ray, a lot of glass from the wounds and lacerations to be dealt with.
And presumably the more seriously wounded were being taken straight to Ashford, Buckland and other places.
Yeah, that's correct. Obviously the more seriously wounded would have been sent directly via the paramedics and my partners who were up at the barracks. And as I say, the receiving hospitals would have been Buckland Hospital, the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford, and the Kent and Canterbury Hospital.
And I gather there was, by that stage, a pretty regular stream of news bulletins were coming out on the local road. Not that you would have heard them, but people were in the area were very quickly being appraised of the fact that there had been some fatalities and serious injuries.
Yes, that's correct. And you're right, obviously, you know, all that peripheral stuff was going on.
And how long were you the only doctor up there? And did anybody else appear?
Yeah, not very long. The doctors from the other practices in the town, they came into casualty. The word had gone around, and so they had filtered in very soon afterwards. And I think we were all on our way at the same time. All that was initiated, presumably, via the hospital switchboard, that casualties were being anticipated, so the word got around.
I have to say, I think you made a totally correct appreciation of the situation to realise that you were right to go up to the hospital in the knowledge that some had already gone straight to the scene.
Yes, yes. I think clearly one anticipated that there would be paramedics, the fire brigade, and of course I didn't know there were any other doctors apart from my own partners up there. But clearly it was going to be, well, you didn't know what to expect initially till you got down there, but I didn't know how serious some of the injuries were going to be, so you just really got on with what you had to do, and very ably directed by Mrs. Maureen Bain.
Can you remember how long you were there?
Yeah, I think I was there most, well, I was there most of the morning, because I remember Mr. Martin Locke, who was a consultant in orthopaedics and trauma. He had arrived fairly soon after the word got out. But I must have been in casualty for a good couple of hours, and either people were sent away after having been checked thoroughly, and others were admitted to the ward in the hospital. And so when I'd finished in casualty, I went round with Mr. Locke, and we did a ward round, so that as he was in charge of all of us, so to speak, we had to have someone who directed everything. We went round, and, you know, basically, so that we'd assessed all the people who had been admitted. They were the bandsmen, really, mainly bandsmen. And so on that basis, we had a management plan, which we then had to follow.
And were you involved thereafter?
I can't recall, actually, because obviously for the injured in hospital, we'd be looking after them, and of course there would have been follow-up. We would have to follow up the patients and decide upon discharges from the hospital, whether they had to see the specialists and outpatients at a later stage. I remember one person in the band, he basically, his hearing had been completely affected, and of course, being a musician, I don't need to tell you that was quite a serious situation for the person. So you know, had to refer him on to for specialist care later on. But some of the bandsmen were, of course, registered with our practice, and so you'd follow that person up in from your own practice point of view, and vice versa for all the other doctors. So you had an ongoing commitment to see it to the end.